So the debate over abortion that has gone on for decades in the U.S. contains an assumption that is rarely questioned. Legal abortion generally happens with a doctor present, and so regulating abortion involves dictating to doctors when an abortion is legal, where a clinic can be built, whether abortion doctors can get insurance, forcing abortion doctors to affiliate with a hospital. Adding to these restrictions is the September 1st regulation taking effect in Texas that will mean about 1 million women will suddenly have to drive on average 150 miles to get an abortion if they need one. Globally, nearly 40% of the world's population lives in places where such medical restrictions or all-out bans on the medical procedure make abortions nearly impossible to get. Rebecca Gompertz is a physician and activist who is distributing a combination of abortion drugs that women can administer themselves without a doctor. Slate senior editor Emily Bazelon spent some time with Gompertz for a reporting piece out this week in the New York Times Magazine on how this doctorless approach may disrupt the entire abortion debate worldwide. Emily, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what's Gompertz like? She's a different kind of activist, wouldn't you say?
Yes, she is a radical, I would say. She thinks of herself as a human rights activist, and she's very focused on the suffering and hardship for women when they live in places where it's impossible or nearly impossible to access abortion. There are still about 47,000 women a year who are dying because of unsafe abortions, according to the World Health Organization, and that is her cause.
And she's had an impact. She's really turned the tables in some nations. Explain.
Well, she's based in Amsterdam, and she's running what she calls a telemedicine service, where women all over the world who live in countries where abortion is illegal or very restricted can write in to the help desk of her organization and get connected with a doctor who will write a prescription. And that prescription is filled by a drug exporter in India that is providing medication that Rebecca Gompertz knows is of high quality. And then from India, this medication, which causes abortion in the first trimester, is being shipped to women all over the world.
And this transaction is really out of the reach of most of the oversight institutions that try to restrict abortions. I suspect importing medicine without a license is illegal, but again, that's hard to enforce.
And it depends on the country. In some countries, yes, you're right. In other countries, not so clear. And Gompertz says that she has done the legal research to make sure that her organization, based in the Netherlands with doctors elsewhere, is operating legally.
What's her backstory? How did she come to this? What's her background as a physician?
Well, she worked as a ship's doctor for Greenpeace in the 90s after she went to medical school. And going around the world as a Greenpeace activist, I think, both showed her the power of direct action. And she also encountered families where mothers had died because of back alley abortions. And that really galvanized her.
And is she attracting a following, or is she sort of a lone wolf here?
In what she's doing, she's a lone wolf. No one else is providing this kind of service. Women all over the world are ordering abortion pills online, but often they can have no assurance that, you know, the pills are of good quality, that they're not fakes. And so that's the crucial link she's providing here. And what she's doing is pretty radical, particularly from the point of view of the American pro-choice movement, where the mantra is that, you know, an abortion is between a woman and her doctor, and it's very based in physical clinics. So this idea of telemedicine is still pretty unusual in the United States.
We're talking about doctorless procedures for abortion and the doctor who's providing that service. And it's a new radical approach that threatens to disrupt the entire abortion debate around the world. We're talking about that with Emily Bazelon from Slate. How do these drugs work exactly, Emily?
They both cause women to expel a fetus, and they also cause the termination of the fetus. And the increasingly research shows that they're both very effective. They're up to 98% effective in the first trimester, and also that they're safe relative to other kinds of procedures and relative to giving birth.
And one of the ironies here is that the pro-choice movement wants to create a kind of less traumatic situation for people who need abortions by, you know, offering counseling and that sort of thing. At least that's the argument on the face. I suspect by creating a set of restrictions that push women into this drug-induced abortion, I mean, that could produce a lot of trauma on people sort of by themselves expelling a fetus in the first trimester. What are the downsides here?
Well, you know, it really depends on women and how they experience a miscarriage, because that's what this is. It's an induced miscarriage. And so, you know, for all of time, women have been naturally miscarrying by themselves. If it's really early in the pregnancy, sometimes it isn't physically particularly difficult. Other times it can be painful and take place over hours and be a hard thing to go through. What this organization does is provide a lot of information to women about what they're experiencing so they know what they're going through.
How does the organization and how does Dr. Gompertz deal with someone who's trying to get this done much later in the pregnancy?
They don't serve women after the first trimester. In fact, if women get in touch with them and they're more than 9 weeks pregnant, the organization says, we're sorry, but we can't help you because we need time to mail you this medication and we want to make sure you get it within the first 12 weeks.
Now, that sounds nice. Of course, you know, the person could be lying on the phone, right?
That's true. There is always a risk of that. The drugs do work in the second trimester in terms of ending a pregnancy. The problem is, as you were referring to earlier, the risk goes up and also what it's like to actually deal with the experience becomes more difficult for a lot of women. And so at that point, having a doctor's supervision is much more recommended.
Certainly politically, this workaround, I would think, would draw, you know, the predictable supporters in the pro-abortion movement or pro-choice movement and the predictable critics in the so-called pro-life movement. But what do public health physicians say about the proliferation of these drugs around the world in the course of your reporting?
You know, this was the thing that surprised me the most in reporting, because I found that every expert I talked to who knows this subject was very much in favor of disseminating good quality drugs with the right information. And the reason has to do with what public health officials call harm reduction. If you live in a country where abortion is illegal, you're not going to be less likely to have an abortion. You know, for example, in Brazil, where women are prosecuted, there's still 1 million abortions happening every year, and 200,000 women a year are suffering serious complications. So public health officials look at that and there's a clear cost-benefit analysis. And so they say women who are going to end their pregnancies are much better off taking this relatively safe medication than going through a traditional back alley abortion, which really is dangerous.
Did public health officials who spoke to you, you know, prefer that the abortion debate sort of go away, be rendered moot by these drugs, that in a sense the debate itself puts women in harm's way because it keeps women from doing things that they were going to do anyway in a safe way?
That's a really interesting question. You know, it's impossible to take the politics out of abortion, especially in this country. It's kind of unimaginable. So I think it's, yes, if you were thinking about this clearly in straight up public health terms, women would be able to make choices that were simply based on what is best for their safety. But that's just not the world we live in.
Well, interesting. You know, it's a technological change that's going to transform politics depending on how this proliferates. And we'll see if the situation in places like Bangladesh and Portugal is replicated in places like Texas, where restrictions go into effect as early as this weekend. Emily, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Emily Bazelon, senior editor for Slate. Her article on Rebecca Gompertz, the doctor we spoke about, is in this week's New York Times Magazine.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.